You have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 16. The Gospel of John and John's other books, you know, he speaks a lot about love in there. And, you know, he's the apostle of love and supposedly the one Jesus loved the most. I mean, that's not really true, but he thought it was true. But so let's look at this verse, 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Everybody say, God is love.
God is love.
And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And so that's an amazing statement to say something is something else. To say that God is love. It's not like it's a partial love. He's half love, three quarters love. God is love. And I like math. I was a former accountant. And I used to do this back in when I first got saved. I would say, like, you know, God equals Jesus equals the Holy Spirit equals love equals joy equals, you know. And you can just kind of go on. And so God, Jesus equals love. God is love. And I won't go into all the details, but there's at least four different Greek words for love. They have a very rich language, and we'll say, like, well, I love this kind of food. Well, is that the same kind of love that you have for your child or for your husband or wife? You know, so in our language, we don't really distinguish. We'll use these words. But they had particular words they would use in different situations. And Jesus introduced a new word, a new word for love in the world, and it's called agape. And they really have no record of agape being used before Jesus' time. And it really is a word for the church. And so this is something we need to talk about. We need to know about, you know, I call it the God kind of love. And let's kind of define this a little bit. Agape love is where an individual, a person, recognizes or appreciates the value of something else, or I'm going to use a person, another person. So it's like you see a person and you recognize that it's valuable. It's valuable and precious. And so if you feel that way about something, that means you esteem it highly. You treat it differently. It has a special place in your heart. And so when we're talking about agape love, it's unconditional love, meaning it's not based on whether that person responds to your love or that person does things to deserve your love. It's an unconditional. There's no conditions. It's love based just on the value of the giver, of the person that sees another, values that person. Again, nothing that they do. I mean, that's just hard for us to understand because we like to give love to those that give love back to us. And if we give love and we don't receive it back, we may back off and give it to someone else. It's going to be a little more responsive. I mean, and as a parent, you know, we take care of our kids even when they can't give anything back, but we do love it when they start responding. When they start smiling, when they start saying, dad, dad, we make a big deal out of, you know, who's first. You know, we do like the response. But God's love, this agape love, it's a love. And in God's case, it's a love for us while we were yet sinners. Not only were we not responding to his love, we were in rebellion, going against God's plan. He's the creator. He created us and this world, and we were in rebellion to him in rebellion to His plan, but yet He loved us. And that's why Paul in Ephesians prays that we need to get a revelation of this love. Prays that we'll, you know, to be able to understand it, to be able to know it. We need to pray this. We need to believe it on purpose to get a revelation of it. Because it doesn't match with the world that we live in. It may not match with the home that we were brought up in. It doesn't match with how things happen at school or at work. I mean, you know, how many know that most of the world, they don't operate by grace? It's more ungrace. And God is all about grace. So it's giving love that is undeserved, and it's like a compelling love. God, because He is love, is compelled to love us. And the thing about His love, it's not just words. He backs it up with action. So God has the love that gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, even if you don't respond. And His blessing is there. And so it's love based on a decision, not on a feeling. How many of you know when you're not feeling it, it's sometimes difficult to give love to others? Now, don't look at your mate, but have you ever had that, ever lost that loving feeling? Anybody there today? You lost the love? Should we sing the song? You want me to sing it, don't you? And so we lose it. Well, you know, I'm just not feeling it. Well, I am so glad that we don't have a God like that, that's lost the love and feeling. That He's made a decision before we were born, before the foundation of the world, to love us and to give to us and to bless us while we were sinners, while we were in rebellion, and formed a plan before the beginning of the world. So let's look at His plan, and that's over in John 3:16. But, you know, we won't understand the gospel until we have a revelation, a glimpse of agape love. Now let's look at John 3:16. It says this: "For God so agaped the world." God so agaped selfish, rebellious sinners, ungracious, unkind. For God so agaped is unconditional. God made a decision. He loved the world, and because His love brings action, because He's compelled to love, He gave. You see, He gives. And not only did He give, but He didn't give it in a half-hearted manner. He is passionate. He gave it all. He gave His best. He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now here's a good question. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? We get saved to receive eternal life. And certainly we can talk in terms of, you know, the Scriptures. When we die, if we believe in Jesus, we go to heaven. And we could talk about heaven and all the different parts of heaven. But when you really get down to it, the reason why He sent Jesus is because God loved people, because God wanted a family. God wanted to have relationship with His creation. And so God, it's all about people. And so eternal life is all about people. We're not going to die and go to heaven and then go live on a desert island. And you know, and we could talk about streets of gold and, you know, columns that are made out of pearl and all that. But the most precious thing in heaven are the people. And, you know, in this world that we live in, especially in the United States, we value our stuff. Now, they do everywhere, but we're better at it than most. And you got to really watch it because, you know, with the whole saying, you can't take it with you. But this world is not about money and stuff and possessions and things. It's about people. And the most satisfaction and joy you're going to have in life is having right relations with people. And so eternal life, and again, we don't have it all. I mean, it's going to be unveiled in heaven. Imagine just agape just flowing from God and from every person, and the devil's not there to steal it. It is unbelievable. But what we're trying to do is to bring heaven to earth. And shouldn't this life be about what's important in heaven? Thank you. Okay. I know you just had a lot of turkey in. But see, this is what the gospel is about, is to getting people saved, getting into God's family, and let them experience that love. And so what happens when we make Jesus the Lord of our life and when we're saved? What happens? Well, Romans 5, turn there. Romans 5, there are other verses I could read, but Romans 5 explains what happens. And it's pretty awesome. What happens to you when you're born again? Romans 10 says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as your Lord, you'll be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the gospel is basically Jesus, God sent His Son to come and to live and to die for and pay the price for your sins. To win you back from the enemy. Take you out of Satan's kingdom and put you in his family of blessing. Take you out of the curse and put you into blessing. And Ephesians says that for all of eternity, he wants to show his kindness to you. Not just when you die and go to heaven, all your life here on this earth, he just wants to shower you with his kindness. But look what happens when we're born again. Romans 5, verse 5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames. I'm reading from the Amplified. Or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts. Through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see that? When you're born again, and it's like you're just this container, God takes His love from Himself and just pours it into you. And so He is love. And so He doesn't pour into you the world's love. He pours into you agape love. You got to get a revelation of that. What? God's love is in me? Isn't that something? God's love is in you? That agape love, that same love that sent Jesus, his Son, to die for us, that would lay down His life for a friend, that same love is in us. When we're born again, we're filled with God's love. And selfishness and the world's form of love leaves. And so it really is a dramatic transformation. And I like what Peter says. We become partakers of God's divine nature. Partaker means, it's the same word for fellowship, koinonia. We share in that love. We fellowship in that love. We partake of this love together. We partake of God's love. All right. Got you going here. Let's look over in John 13. Now you're going to understand John 13 better. John 13, verse 34, I'll read from the New Living Translation. So I'm now giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Agape each other. Not because of a feeling, because of a decision. And not because they respond or don't respond. It doesn't matter. Love each other. I mean, you got to be a believer to believe this. Just as I have loved you. I'm to love Frank just as Jesus has loved me. It's pretty good, huh, Frank?
Yes, sir.
You're getting the love of Jesus. I'm just the love of Jesus all over you. Even though, you know, you're a Falcons fan and I'm a Vikings fan. I made a decision to love you. It's not based on your team. It's not based on whether he's wearing the right jersey or the right skin color or the right background or the right education. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Oh my God. Let's just forget it. Let's just call it a day. Your agape love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So you see, the world's out there, they can't walk in this love because they're not born again. They want it, but they can't walk in it because their inside has the nature of selfishness. And they try as they may, they want what we have. And so it should be, they look at our relationships and they say, wow, I want that. How do I get that? But unfortunately, some folks, not anybody here in this church, but at some of those other places, they don't have this revelation. And so instead of agape love, we're giving out condemnation. You don't look right. You don't smell right. You're not from the right area. I've had people in this church, because of their color, haven't been welcomed in a church in Augusta. That makes me just want to vomit right now. Blah. How is that a reflection of Jesus? I was talking to another pastor the other day, and at their church, they had an usher standing at the door and wouldn't let certain people of color come into their service. You need to go worship with your own kind. I don't know what Bible you're reading. What Bible is that? What verses are you? Where is that in the Bible? But, and again, not perfection. We will not be perfected till the other side. But it ought to be evident in a group of people, in a family. It ought to be evident, and people should be able to see it. and hopefully say, yeah, I want that. But let me give you a little secret here. People already know they're sinners. They don't need your help in making them feel worse than they already feel. It's not our job. I'm going to tell you who you are. That's not going to lead anybody into the kingdom. Again, my Bible, I don't know what Bible you have. My Bible says it's the goodness of God, the giving, the generosity of God that leads man to repentance to bring change. What's stealing this agape love? Let's do a look over at Mark 4. Mark 4 is great. We've probably preached Mark 4 723 times, Eddie. He was off on a few of his numbers, but I'll correct him later. I don't want to condemn him publicly. Mark 4, verse 19. This is a verse for Good News Church. Because, there may be things here you don't like and people you don't like and situations you don't like. But I'm telling you, y'all are blessed. You all got it good. And I'm not because of me, but you all have amazing teaching, amazing people around you, amazing leaders. You all are blessed. And so we need to watch out here for Mark 4:19 and not let it creep into our lives. Because look at what it'll do. Mark 4, verse 19, Amplified, says this: "Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desires for other things creep in." It creeps. Creeping, it's a slow process. And look at what it does. It chokes and suffocates the Word. And so we can do God equals Jesus equals the Holy Spirit equals the Word equals love suffocates love. And when it suffocates love, the fruit of that love is stifled. So, and this is hard, and we do need each other to talk to each other, speak the truth in love, but sometimes you can be deceived in thinking you're walking in agape love when the reality, the fruit, doesn't match your good intentions. And that's where, the rubber meets the road, because agape love acts. Agape love gives. Agape love is not about me. Agape love is not about me getting, what I want all the time. So it's gonna take God's empowerment. It's gonna take, grace. Grace is love in action. Grace is love demonstrated. So God not only says He loves us, but then He backs it up with action. But you got to really watch it here. We're coming into Christmas. You can just, go to the store and you can just feel it. Just the stuff. And here's the message the marketers are giving you. This stuff is going to make you happy. This stuff's going to bring a lot of laughter to the family and a lot of joy. And again, it's good. It's all a blessing. But don't get into that trap, because Christmas is all about people. Christmas is all about giving. Christmas is all about blessing. But wouldn't it be good during Christmas to bless some people that maybe won't, you know, say thank you when they get the present? I don't know, what was that stat, Susie, about the giving and what's spent on Christmas? Do you remember the numbers? No, but I mean the overall, it was something like, let me put it this way, more money is spent in the U.S. during Christmas time for Christmas presents than all the giving to the churches during the whole year. Not by just a little bit. We spend more during Christmas, I'm talking about the United States, on all our gifts for Christmas than we do on all the giving to churches and ministries. Should I just go on? So this Christmas, maybe, you know, let's maybe think about it. Let's see what we could do. Maybe it might be good to kind of step out there and do something different a little bit. I'm not saying don't get presents, but how about we get together and say, who can we bless? Who can we give to that's not going to thank us? And I think that would bring a lot of joy to others and to yourself. But you got to watch this, because the enemy, you know, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's trying to stop that agape love from flowing. He's trying to stop you from being who you are. Because this agape love, that's who you are. That's who you are. You're like God. You're made in His image. We imitate our Father, Ephesians 5 says. We're like Him. All right, I'm getting to the verse I wanted to read right now. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to read all the verses you think I might read. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I'll read Amplified Version. Oh my goodness, this is good. I can't tell you how good these verses are about I'm about to read. They're so good. Just by faith, turn to your neighbor and say, these verses, Pastor Matt, you don't have to say all that, but these verses are so good. Just say that to somebody. And now turn, and you can just say it however you want to say it, but say, like, man, these verses are good. Now go, just make some kind of a guttural noise. Well, not guttural. Susie, you always, you can't help yourself. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, so that all those who might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for Him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. Now, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of Him that we know Him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Selfishness has passed away. Agape love is our new life. But I love this part here where it says the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. I mean, it will like make your day. It'll cause you to do things differently during the day. It's like you can't help yourself. Not in for the flesh, but you just can't help yourself from blessing people. You can't help yourself from doing good. You can't help yourself from being generous. You can't help yourself for praying for somebody and speaking good words. And you can't help yourself from keeping your mouth shut and saying those ugly words that you used to say. You can't help yourself. It compels you. And for some people, it compels them so much, they have to go to another nation and live there and share God's love. They have to do it. They have to. They're compelled. They're driven to do it. They're driven to go to their neighbor and be a blessing. They just can't help it because it's their nature and it's God's nature, because you are Jesus to the world. God loved Jesus. Jesus loved me. And now I love others with the same love that God loves Jesus. The same love. Same love. And look at the power of this love. Anybody here ever heard of a person called Zacchaeus? Who wants to sing the song? Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Luke 19 says he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. They go hand in hand. These guys were the most hated and feared people in the city, in the town. Because their job was to get money from you. I mean, how many here have a picture of your IRS agent on your wall and you're praying for him? Oh, the IRS called. They want to meet with me. Oh, praise God, I'll be over there. Just, you know. He's the chief tax collector. But, you know, he's working for the Romans. He's going to get what their share and then a little or a lot extra for him. He's going to get the Romans their money. But the people he's getting it from, you know, they don't even really know what they're being taxed. So this guy is hated. I mean, not a good man. Selfish. I mean, what kind of guy would do that just to ostracize himself from the community? From his people. Who would do that? And obviously very lonely. Has all this money, all this stuff. But he's got to protect himself. He can't just go out in public and do certain things. So he hears about Jesus. And hears about Jesus' goodness. And he wants to see him. He hears about the miracles. Here's about his love for people. And so he goes out. He goes out with fear and trembling. And it makes sense that he doesn't want to be in the crowd. It says he's of short stature, but also he doesn't want to get beat up. So he runs ahead, gets up in a sycamore tree, waiting on Jesus just to get a glimpse of him and see him. And then Jesus stops when he's walking by. Stops and sees Zacchaeus and goes and speaks to him and says, "Today I'm going to your house." And Zacchaeus is all excited. The Bible says he is full of joy. He runs home, gets his house ready for Jesus to come. Jesus comes, agape love comes into his home. During the meal, Zacchaeus stands up. I mean, I don't know if he got up on the chair. I like it up here. Stands up and says, "Today I give half of my goods to the poor." Probably millions of dollars. "Today I give half of it to the poor. And then for those that I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back fourfold," which was more than the Jewish law required. He's doing over and above. What's he going to have left? But see, agape love in when it's working, and again, that's people acting on the love on the inside of them, when it's working, brings transformation, changes people, changes situations. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails, love always wins, love always succeeds. Selfishness is a cancer. Selfishness is like rust on metal. Selfishness will divide homes, divide marriages, divide family. I mean, how many families squabbles over money? Give me a break. Oh my God. You're going to value this stuff over this relationship? Let it go. God will honor your heart. He'll get it back to you. Fighting over with family members over stuff. I'm not going to be doing that. Take it. God will give it back to me. I'm not having that. I'm not living my life with regrets. I value people more than stuff. And even if it makes me poor, my God is going to put me over. He's a good father. He's going to take care of me. That's what sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you saying? Why are you doing this? Is this how agape love acts? Over this trinket? It's going to burn, everybody. It's going to burn. But that family member, that neighbor, that whoever it is, they're not, I hope you don't want them to burn. But look at the power of that love, that agape love. Just an encounter. Wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, we represent Jesus. We're ambassadors for agape. Ministers of agape. We carry it. The Holy Spirit helps us to dispense it. But what a life. I mean, you come into a man's home, and look at that transformation power. That love just, he didn't condemn them. People are mad because Jesus is eating with a sinner. But look at what God's doing. He's bringing transformation. We are in the transformation business. That's what we do. We make a difference wherever we go. We don't act like everybody else. We don't talk like everybody else. We're not out for ourselves. Acts 10:38. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The power went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. So today, aren't you glad you came to church today? This is a great meal after we just gorged, you know, a great message after we just gorged ourselves for Thanksgiving. But see, this is who you are. This is who Good News Church is. And so we need to start talking about ourselves and saying, hey, today I'm God inside minded. God lives in me. Agape love lives in me. Holy Spirit, help me today for that love to be released. Guide my steps. Show me what to do. Whose life can I transform today? I bring peace wherever I go. I bring the power of God wherever I go. I bring healing wherever I go. I bring reconciliation wherever I go. I bring deliverance wherever I go. I don't bring judgment. I don't bring condemnation. I don't talk ugly about people. I don't put people down. I don't make fun of people. That's not who I am. I'm like my Heavenly Father, and I'm like my big brother Jesus, and He lives in me, and His love is in me. Lord, help me. Talk about empowering to give life. Imagine if you had a church of people. And you know, over in 1 Peter, it talks about fervent love. There's so much I could say today. But over in 1 Peter, it talks about fervent love. And that fervent love means white hot. White hot love. And so it's like the same kind of heat that a welder would use to put two pieces together. And it says for a congregation and a group of people to have that white hot love amongst them. And so you actually get bonded to people. Bonded, and together you're stronger. Together you can do more. Together you can touch a lot more lives. And so you see marriages, white hot love. Families. See why the enemy fights it? I desire, and I've said this many times, And just not when you come into here, but for Good News Church people, wherever we go, when you come into this place, that you're met with love. You're met with friendly, loving, not fake, not, you know, we're doing 10 steps to win you over. No, I mean, I'm just talking, this would be a place of love, that this would be a safe place, that this wouldn't be a place of condemnation and judgment. Just let me dream. Just let me keep on dreaming. You may think I'm crazy. I am crazy. For Jesus. No. And you don't have to have any formula to have a church of diversity. Love just attracts it. And there'll be times when you're giving it out and you're giving it out and they're just not responding. Keep on giving. Keep on giving. That's like Jesus. Keep on giving. You know, we're on God's mind. We were on God's mind on the cross. He's up there suffering. You know, thorns on his head, nails in his hands and his feet. Beaten, whipped, and we're on his mind. What love. Today, who's on your mind? I hope it's more than the Vikings and the Falcons. And I'm believing this week, I'm believing for that transforming love to be released in our homes, released in our neighborhoods, released in relationships. I'm believing for that. I'm calling that in. And certainly you want to have it in your home first. It's impossible in ourselves. We're not talking just willpower here, but it's giving yourself over to God, submitting to Him, believing in Him. And it's by faith that we do these things. But if we can do this, I'm talking about lives being changed around us. Family members. Don't give up on your family members. I know you want to. Don't give up. If you stop your praying and your generosity, that may be all they've got. And when you realize this, you understand why people do the stupid things they do. They can't help themselves. So someone's got to be bigger in the situation and say, okay, I mean, you're just... And again, I'm not saying let people walk all over you, but they're just being who they are. They can't help themselves.